We thank God for another good morning, and we shall look at God's word. And we have started looking at some of the prophecies that relate to the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And yesterday we were able to look at Isaiah chapter 9, and today we'll look at Isaiah chapter 7, and then we'll link it up to how it is fulfilled in the book of Matthew. So we'll go to Isaiah chapter 7, and maybe I'll just read the first part before we get to verse 10, which is where the key prophecy is given. And Isaiah chapter 7, verse 1 says, "In the days of Ahaz, the son of Jotham, the son of Uzziah, the king of Judah, Rezin, the king of Syria, and Pekah, the son of Remaliah, the king of Israel, came up to wage war against it, but could not yet mount an attack against it. When the house of David was told, 'Syria is in league with Ephraim,' the heart of Ahaz and the heart of his people shook as the trees of the forest shake before the wind." So what was happening is that these nations, which is Assyria and Ephraim, came to wage war against Israel. And then verse 3 tells us that, and what the Bible tells us is that the king was Ahaz, his heart and the heart of the people, they were fearful. That means they shook as trees of the forest shake before the wind. Verse 3 tells us that, "And the Lord said to Isaiah, 'Go out and meet Ahaz, you and Shear Jashub, your son, at the end of the conduit of the upper pool on the highway to the washer's field, and say to him, "Be careful, be quiet, do not fear. Do not let your heart faint because of these two smoldering stumps of firebrands and at the fierce anger of Rezin and Syria, and the son of Remaliah, because Syria and Ephraim and the son of Remaliah have devised evil against you, saying, "Let us go up against Judah and terrify it, and let us conquer it for ourselves, and set up the son of Tabeel as king in the midst of it. Thus says the Lord, it shall not stand, and it shall not come to pass. For the head of Syria is Damascus, and the head of Damascus is Rezin. And within 65 years, Ephraim will be shattered from being a people, and the head of Ephraim is Samaria, and the head of Samaria is the son of Remaliah. If you are not firm in faith, you will not be firm at all." So the Israelites are already fearful that they are going to be conquered. You can imagine two power nations are coming to wage war against you. Maybe you are this small country somewhere in the world, and then you're told the superpowers or one of the NATO powers are coming to, you know, to declare war against you. And this king and his people were fearful. But you see, God starts to tell them that, you know what, do not be afraid. These two nations will be destroyed. In 65 years, you know, Ephraim will no longer be a people. And these are the Samaritans, the Samarians. Samaritans, they will no longer be a people. And then he's also telling that even this other nation, Assyria, will also be destroyed. Then verse 10, "Again the Lord spoke to Ahaz, 'Ask a sign of the Lord your God. Let it be as deep as Sheol, that is hell, or as high as heaven.' But Ahaz said, 'I will not ask, and I will not put the Lord to the test.' And he said, 'Hear then, O house of David, is it too little for you to weary men that you weary my God also? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. He shall eat curds and honey, and when he knows how to refuse the evil and choose the good, for before the boy knows how to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land whose two kings you dread will be deserted. The Lord will bring upon you and upon your people and upon your father's house such days as have not come since the days that Ephraim departed from Judah, the king of Assyria.'" So you can see that, first of all, the message was given that, you know what, I'm going to destroy these kings, do not fear. And then now God wants to confirm it to King Ahaz. And he comes and tells him, he sends Isaiah and tell him, ask. Again, the Lord spoke to Ahaz and said, ask a sign of the Lord your God and let it be as high, like be extravagant. You know, you can imagine God is asking you, ask me for anything. It can be as deep as Sheol or as high as the heavens. Whatever sign you're asking for, I will do it for you. Just to show you that, or to give you the confidence that I'm going to rescue you, and just as a confirmation to his message. But then what does Ahaz say? He said, no, I will not ask the Lord, I will not ask and I will not put the Lord to the test. It's interesting how Ahaz responds. I'm not sure, it might not be clear whether it is fear, out of fear, or of course out of reverence for God, that he will not ask God for a sign. But you see, God was determined to give a sign. And God is like, I mean, you're already wearing men. I mean, you've already made weary. How will you also weary God? Because God is asking you to give a sign. God is asking, he wants to give you a sign. And then what does God give this sign to be? And you can think of it. I mean, God would have chosen to give a sign of, like, he gave, you know, the other king, he gave him that the son went, you know, 10 steps backwards and he will be healed. And he was healed. Or he could give a sign of anything. But you see, Gideon asked for a sign, and, you know, water and the fleece of wool and all becoming wet. All those are signs, yes. But God's, when God gives his sign that someone did not ask for, then you can see what is the biggest sign that God gives. And the biggest sign that he gives is what? The Lord himself will give you a sign. And what is a sign? Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you shall call his name Emmanuel. Have you ever thought of it that as a miracle, as a sign that God is giving, that the greatest sign that God gave, that is bigger than the sun, bigger than the moon, bigger than the meteors, that, you know, the stars that people follow and all that, is that a virgin, one who has not known a man, one who does not have the seed of a man, who becomes the seed of a woman, becomes, and remember, the woman does not have seed, but that means it becomes God himself becoming flesh and entering into the womb of a woman and his name, and becoming and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. Now, what we know is that this is the mystery of incarnation, the mystery of God taking on flesh. The Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and he has made his dwelling among us, the Word becoming flesh. So God himself took on the flesh of man and came into the womb of a virgin, of which we see is Mary. And this son becomes, is called, his name shall be called Emmanuel. And what does Emmanuel mean? Emmanuel means God with us. And this is really the testimony and the witness of Christmas and the witness of Christianity, that God took on flesh and became man. And why did he do that? So that he can become the perfect sacrifice for our sins. You know, when he came on as flesh, he took on our humanity. He took on our weaknesses. He understands our pain. The Bible in Hebrews tells us that we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who was with us, who was tested in every way, and is able to make intercession for us. The reason why we have confidence that we are born again, that we are children of God, is that our Lord and Savior became us. He took on our bodies that he might redeem us. And just as he was raised again, the firstborn from among the dead, then we to ourselves are also made alive in Christ. Now, how is this prophecy fulfilled? When we look, we jump to the book of Matthew, chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1 from verse 18, the Bible says that, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be child from the Holy Spirit." That means, you see, before they came to be together, that means there was no influence of a man. She was still a virgin, and she was found to be with child. "And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considers these things, behold, an angel from the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. You can see she will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus.'" Or other versions put it, "You shall call his name Emmanuel." "You shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." And all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Verse 23, "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name is Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up from the sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord had commanded him. He took his wife, but he knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus." So you can see the sign that God gave, the greatest sign that we will ever see and hear from God, is actually God himself taking up our humanity, humbling himself. The Bible tells us that let your attitude be like that of Christ, of Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God as something to be grasped, as robbery, but he humbled himself and was found in appearance as a man, taking on the form of a servant. You can imagine, you can think of, in our time, you can think of you as a human being entering into, you know, the body of an ant so that you can save ants. I don't know whether it's a picture that can be painted. The God, the creator of everything, becoming the created, entering into the created to redeem the created. Why? Because his desire, his greatest desire, was that man take on his image, the fulfillment of his image and likeness. Remember, Adam was made in the image and likeness of God, but that form was distorted by sin, and God needed a restoration of that form. And that is why Jesus comes, not without any contact with the blood or rather with the sin of man, because, I mean, even science tells us that there is no contact, you know, the woman becomes the bearer of the of the baby, incubates, you know, and gives it a body. But you see, what happens is that even that blood exchange is not there. There might be nutrients exchange, but there is no specific blood exchange. And that's why you can find a newborn baby being born, the mother having HIV, you know, but then a newborn coming without, coming not positive. Why? Because there is that barrier that exists. And this shows us how God enables, comes into the flesh, and he does not carry the sin of Adam. So Christ did not bear the sin of Adam. That is why he offers a new man. He offers a new creation. He offers us the chance to be the perfect sacrifice. And because he's perfect, he is fully man and fully God, and is able to bear our sins for us. And when he grows up, he does not commit any sin, and he can pay the price for us. Because if he came through the seed of a man, he would have been sinful from the onset, and he would not be a perfect sacrifice. But because he did not bear that sin of man, God offers this greatest sign for us, that we can receive salvation. And that is why the only place where he's made sin is that he's made sin on the cross. And that is the place where he's separated from the Father. He's made sin. God made him that knew no sin. You can imagine how God puts it. To be sin, that we might become the righteousness of God. That we should be made the righteousness of God. And you can read that in Romans 5:17. God made him that knew no sin to be sin, that we should be made the righteousness of God. The blessing and the miracle and the sign that we see, the greatest sign that God gives, is actually him himself coming to dwell with us. And when you have Christ in your heart, the Bible says he is Emmanuel, God with us. God with us. No other religion can boast of God living in them. Many religions, their God is in one place, in one location. They have to take trips to go and see him. They have to, or maybe it is in a God, they have to be, you know, carry their God somewhere and move with it. But for us, God is with us. He is in us. He walks with us. He never leaves us. And he has said, never will I leave you or forsake you. The greatest sign is the virgin shall be with child, and you shall call his name Emmanuel. So what we can see is that this was an impossibility happening, but with God, all things are possible. Mary herself asked, how will these things be? Explain it to me. You know, I mean, this is wonderful to understand. And the angel tells him that the Holy Spirit shall come upon you, and the Holy One shall be found in you. This is what God does. And we'll start to see that it was not random. It was not random that Jesus came. God spoke about it through his prophets. He prophesied it, and it came to pass. Even the exact place where he'll be born, and by the grace of God, we shall be able to see that. We'll see the prophecies of his birth, his exact place, the lineage that he's supposed to come through, all to show that God is very strategic. God is very accurate. And you can think of how accurate God is. What more of you? God knows us. He knows our name. He knows which families we are to be born. He knows the children we shall have. And there are specific reasons why he has placed them in our homes, because he knows their destiny. The Bible says, from one man he made all men of all flesh, that they should dwell the earth, and he determined their exact times and places where each of them should be born, and that they might find him. God desires that each and every one of us know him. So this is a sign, and it is fulfilled. The virgin shall conceive, shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. So I'll stop there. And I pray that I've given us a reflection. And let's just settle on that word, Emmanuel, and this greatest sign of the Lord. Yeah, so I'll stop there. And my brother, you're welcome.
Thank you, Dr. Emmanuel.
Yes.
Indeed, we're in the season of the birth of our Christ. And thanks for the reminder. Get more prophecies before his birth. I don't have much to add to what you've said. Just thank you for the sermon.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father and Lord, we thank you. We thank you for your love and kindness. Thank you for giving us the grace to just be together, to be in the place of prayer, and to reflect on this blessing and this sign that you gave Ahaz. And you have fulfilled it in Christ. And not only is he born again, is he born of a virgin, but he is also born again into our hearts. And everyone who has come to him, everyone who has put his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, they are born again and they are made alive in Christ. And we praise you, we worship your holy name. We thank you for everyone that needs to make that decision. The Lord, you shall make it possible. I thank you for our family members. I pray for them, wherever they are, that your hand shall be upon them, keep them, watch over them, protect them from every evil hand of the evil one. Pray for ourselves. I pray for strength, for courage, for strength in everything that we are to do. Go ahead of us, keep us, sustain us, watch over us, O God. And indeed, in all these things, we know that we are more than conquerors. May your strength, presence, and hand keep and sustain us. We pray all this in Jesus' mighty name. We pray and believe. Amen. Amen. Indeed. Shalom, and have a blessed, blessed day ahead. Bye-bye.